John Tamaidere joins us. We talk regularly about whānau order, about Māori politics, and about life. Thanks for your time, John. Tēnā koe.
Yeah, kia ora, John.
Kia ora. Where are you this morning, man?
Very chipper. We start the count on the Tamaki electorate this morning.
Tēnā koe. And obviously you want somebody that, with eyes you can trust looking in on this. Who have you chosen to represent the party's interests?
Well, I don't tend to name them other than one's a very good administrative lawyer and two very capable Māori accountants. So they're in there. They kick off just after 9 o'clock over in Manukau City.
Tēnā.
On the recount.
Yeah, kia ora. And it's an important one, obviously. John, we'll be waiting with interest too. But there has been criticism about the electoral counting and how long it takes, etc. Prior to the election, in fact, you were talking with us about the need for another focus on the Electoral Commission's work, Māori. And also, there was some talk of setting up a Māori organisation that could look at the build-up to the election with sort of polling issues and stats associated with Parliament. Any traction on these ideas?
Yeah, look, firstly, just to end off on the recount, it doesn't matter whether Tini wins the recount or not, Labour goes nowhere, right? So they win. As in the Port Waikato election, by-election, National will add a seat all day long if they win it. Labour adds nothing if it wins Tamaki Makaurau. What it does is it takes another Māori out of the House, and that's Tash Kent, because Tini was already in on the list, and it's not going to change their list at all. So I'll park that up, because that's an issue that we've got live with the Labour Party in terms of understanding that if you want more MMP, it means more Māori in Parliament. So I'll peel that one off. In terms of the Electoral Commission, what we're recounting in Tamaki Makaurau bears no relationship to the way in which people were treated, either standing in special lines when they didn't need to, watching others vote very quickly and differently. And as soon as you know you've been treated in a discriminatory manner, you get your chipper up and you bugger off. And so we've got conduct up and down the country where large numbers of Māori were maltreated and treated totally differently to others and weren't able or were felt so uncomfortable that they didn't ever cast their ballot. And so we've got to have a safe environment. And that's why polling booths must start to be not just situated at our kuanga kura, whare kura, marae, Māori provider groups of health, welfare, education and justice. But that is where we're wanting to shift the intention of the Electoral Commission. The second thing is the inner belly of racism in this country is quite sophisticated. And so when they make a decision to make you go to a special queue by not even looking properly for your name, or alternatively not having enough Māori electorate rolls to test whether Māori are on the roll and then forcing them into a special queue for special votes, this happens multiple times. And then when you run out of voting ballots and the vote has to stop and the queue keeps growing, and getting more ballots sent out from your regional office, people leave, and they did. And so we don't get, people have a go at us for not having a good turnout, but when you look at the obstacles to a Māori casting a ballot as opposed to a Pākehā, or non-Māori in a non-Māori seat, they're two totally different stories. Tale of two cities.
You've taken umbrage, too, at the suggestion there was some wrongdoing at Mandurewa Marae. My young fellow voted there. He said it was really vibrant and a neat place to cast your vote. But you're very critical that shoddy media representation of the issue and how one climbs on the back of another and untruths get published more widely. What would you say of the way that issue was represented And is the Electoral Commission looking at anything untoward that occurred at Manurewa?
Well, see, the Electoral Commission is not. People can make complaints about us all day long. Like, the number of people that make complaints about me on a weekly basis to the police, to the Serious Fraud Office, to whoever will listen to them is legend, right? So, but that's me personally, and I can handle all that. What I don't like is the insinuation that all Māori are crooked, that all Māori can't be trusted, that all Māori must be looked at suspiciously, that anything happening on a Māori campus, Māori managed, Māori owned, 100% owned are our marais, 100% governed are our marais, all of a sudden there's something wrong. You know, I'll give you an example, and I want to cast any aspersions on the people I'm naming. What I'm saying is that Chris Carter, when he was the MP for Te Atatū, his partner was the principal, long-standing principal of a large primary school in the Te Atatū electorate, and hosted a polling booth there. There were no insinuations that because his partner, well-known in the community, was the principal, that would affect the carriage of votes at a polling booth on that campus. But as soon as something like that is alleged against us, it must be true. It must be true. It's not true because we don't run the polling booths. Governments do, and they have their own people coming over the top of our marais. We don't mind that. We do mind if they run out of ballots, as they did out there. And that is unacceptable conduct by the Electoral Commission.
Well, it speaks for itself, doesn't it, John? Look, can I just touch on Gaza? Te Pāti Māori have been outspoken here. The atrocities that we are seeing there, they're calling it a graveyard for children. And no back down, no real efforts to have a ceasefire. Yeah. And then some political parties here are taking a swipe saying that we haven't acted in the interests of Israel by condemning Hamas. I mean, surely our move is to stop the slaughter of Tamariki.
Well, it's totally see, there's this thing in an international law which is a joke that says you can retaliate proportionally. Right? Who rules proportionally in this country, in this world? Two people rule proportionality in Gaza in this world: the United States of America and the Israelis. Now, if the Israelis said stop Israel, they would stop. The United States of America, as the global world policeman, have turned the other way and green-lighted the atrocities that are going there. What you can't do is accept what Hamas did, right? But what you can't go and allow and consent to is, when is Utu enough for the Israelis? When is the number of deaths of women, children and innocents enough? It's never going to be enough for them. And that's why the world leadership has to call an end to this and seek a two-state solution, not one state keeping another state imprisoned in a place called Gaza. And unless the United States intervenes with its colleagues, nothing's going to happen, and the women and children in Gaza will die. Now, we didn't exterminate all the Germans when we won the war, for the atrocities they carried out and they started. We didn't exterminate all the Japanese after the war. That would have been totally disproportionate. But we're willing to set aside and allow civilians to be constantly massacred every day. That is just unacceptable conduct.
Tēnā koe, John. Thank you for your time and thoughts. Yummy.
Yeah, kia ora.
Kia ora. John Tamariki with us on Monday mornings.